Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West.
This is our second June 21st reviews issue, in which we will be discussing issue number one, or book number one, of Superman Year One. But first, we will start off with...
Silver Surfer Black number one. This is written by Donnie Cates with art by Trad Moore, and we would be remiss if we don't mention Dave Stewart on colors particular book.
Wow.
Heck yeah.
So the black, huh? That's the darkness of space, the corruption of abuse of power, what is the black? Because that's a big point in the story.
In the back of my mind, I'm just like, an acid trip?
That's what the black is?
Bad trip, man.
So at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy, a black hole opens up, and a few of the characters are flung through it, including the Silver Surfer, and we get a few of them back at the beginning of issue number two, I believe, of Guardians, but Silver Surfer is not one of them. So this is the beginning of his adventure as to what exactly happens, and he uses his power Cosmic to get everybody out. That is about the biggest undersell that I can give you ever, because the way he does it and the way it is represented is absolute cosmic acid trip insanity.
I was reading it, and I, looked at Nat, and all my thought was, did you give me drugs? Are there drugs in this? On the paper?
Apparently Trad Moore gave you the drugs.
Yeah, right? Somebody give me drugs? What's happening?
It's like, you look at this, and we joke, but, you almost think he had to be on drugs while drawing it, with,
gosh.
Way that characters are melting or fading into obscurity and the weird cells in the background.
If he didn't at least take acid in college, I would be very surprised.
He just cracked his neck and, oh yeah, I can draw now.
Yeah, exactly. He has a flashback.
No, it's like the phone call conversation with Donnie Cates, and Trad, and he's like, yeah, do you think you can get that sequence on pages 4 through 7? He's like, yeah, that was Thursdays in college. It's like, oh, okay, cool, got it. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, there's a sequence where Silver Surfer is falling through nothingness, and he falls into a purple-striped page that then folds into an orb that he becomes a silver blob that then is a silver zombie that he's falling for years. What?
Don't worry, you're not drunk or high.
Yes.
We might be. I don't know.
This level of storytelling of a god telling a story from their perspective and, the humanity and emptiness that was felt through the story is really interesting.
Yeah, it really, the overt loneliness was really almost oppressive for, tonally for the issue.
Yeah.
Because talking about... the only person he'd ever really been with before was Galactus.
Right.
Which has some pretty bad connotations. And he saved all the people, but now he's just utterly alone.
Yeah.
In the black emptiness of space. Yeah. With these, creatures that even, the first quote-unquote people that he meets don't even, can't even speak to him.
Right.
When he addresses them.
And the first thing he says when he lands is, "This planet, it chills me." It's like, so we're dealing with loneliness and sorrow, and when he finally gets to a place that isn't alone, he feels cold.
That's interesting. So in space he's fine, but now that there's a few other, entities around, now he's, chilled.
Yeah, but it also is a telling of the fact that something is wrong with the place that he's landing. He says it reeks of rot and decay.
And yep. Metal.
And metal.
Well, that's a bigger sequence then too, because he's himself. I mean, he looks like he's made of metal, as the Silver Surfer.
I question that with the sequence in the page where he puts his hand up and that silver pulls off.
Yes, well, that's the thing. What did you like? That's such a very when the black first appears on him, he lets forth pure life giving energy.
I interpret that as, so he used the power Cosmic before in this, and then he turned into the weird zombie. He was all messed up, had to regenerate, so now he had to use the power Cosmic again to a degree. He gets the decay hand, and by defeating these whatever foes, it kind of released a spell.
So the weird thing is, too,
part of, and like the planet returned to normalcy that they had, because one of the,
so he, like,
one of the,
he wipes away whatever the darkness was that was engulfing.
And, yeah, because one of
the,
one of them specifically the controls then? The earth, the ground.
Okay,
so they're like, does he take the darkness then? Is that what we're gonna go with?
I thought it was just that he, like, has some decay from using
the other
his
portion
power.
Of it is I really wish they did this, but it looks like on the cover, it looks like his skeleton is.
Oh yeah, that's a hand.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that before.
I didn't realize that until after he did that decay thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't notice that it seemed as if he does let part of his physical mm-hmm. self go, and that's what he ignites and shines. Because he says, I ignite,
there
I shine.
Yeah, because he releases
so
like
he
a tiny ball. It turns into like a baby sun. And
that
and
cleanses.
Then his hands,
and then his hands
his
become
black.
Hmm. Well, and this is really weird because he is the black writer in a future storyline that was done in Thanos, also written by Cates. He's no longer silver. He's black completely and utterly. So I guess we're going to see like a further degradation as he uses his powers, or it's an evolution. Like, you know, we may be looking at this as a negative thing, but
that's
his
true.
Powers may have evolved.
He pulls like a reverse Gandalf.
Yes. And you know
you
what?
You will never see him coming out of space, will you?
Oh, if he's... Oh, man. That's, well, he's reflective anyway, so technically, I mean, would you really see him?
Fair enough.
But you hit the nail on the head, a reverse Gandalf. He falls forever.
Oh, my God. I didn't even, like I just said that as a joke, obviously.
But we could be seeing the complete rebirth of the Silver Surfer into a different entity. I also think it's interesting that he's corrupted by the black, or he seems to be corrupted. Once again, we don't know what that is. And the creature he meets is Null, who created the symbiotes,
yep.
which we associate most strongly with Venom, which is literally a black corruption that overtakes someone.
Oh, God,
yeah.
So much thinking.
So,
man.
Yeah, I mean, I loved this issue. This was pretty high for me in just storytelling. I am enamored with Tradmore's artwork because I can't fathom it. I can't do this art. I just look at it and go, this is nuts. Like, this is absolutely crazy.
Just looking at it, you're like, you're better than me.
It's just one of those things where I don't even know how I identify with it.
Yeah.
It's cartoon yet liquefied. There's touch of European, there's touch of anime.
Oh, God.
There's so much in the art, and the way he represents the silver in Silver Surfer with the blue interior lines and the splashes of white, it's like, it's so intense and gorgeous, and the eyes that aren't quite human, that are almost melty always, like, he never quite has almond eyes. They're all, like, wispy
yeah.
and
now that
weird.
I'm looking at it, they are very reminiscent of Venom's eyes, too, actually, a lot of the time.
Oh, God, could this be a story, like, falling through space, and the Surfer itself is part of the symbiotes? Like, his energy creates the symbiotes from Null, because we don't know if this is a young Null or if this is Null now being reborn.
Well, with as cosmic as it is, it could be a myriad of reasons that, like, time, you know, you get some crazy
yeah.
time loop of, like, creation and then, like, you know, some sort of paradox where you create the thing and that creates you to create
right.
it.
Mm. I'm yeah. really jazzed for this series. Donny Cates for me is, he's one of the few writers when his name is on something, I'll at least try it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. I haven't really, I don't think I've read a Donny Cates thing that's bad.
Well, it's like, I joke that he writes like a 16-year-old who had no filters and was playing with his action figures. You know, like hiding it away from his high school self, but when he's at home, he's having all of these crazy adventures with the toys that he had.
Isn't that what we all want to do now?
And that's the thing. It's exact, and I think that's why he resonates so well in superhero culture, is that's what it feels like. It feels like he's telling the story that all of us would have been like, man, yeah, you know, it would be crazy if, like, Silver Surfer fell through time and, like, created the symbiotes. It's like, I guess I could tell that story, huh? Like, I could literally.
Huh. It just like takes a hit off his joy. You will be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Takes head.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be cool.
I think Cosmic Ghost Rider being my favorite comic book of last year. You know, it's just going nuts.
Yeah.
Plus, I like Cosmic Marvel, so for me, this is right up my alley. Like,
I mean, I enjoyed it, and we both know how much I enjoy space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Did you want to talk about the Stan Lee stuff?
I did want to read just a quick excerpt from Donnie Cates' afterword for this issue. He talks about just writing the first issue, as most first afterwards are. But he says, I was sitting in an airport in Memphis writing this very issue coming home from a con when I learned that Stan Lee had passed away. I closed my laptop, and like many others that day, I cried. And then I opened it back up, I deleted everything I had written, and I began again. This issue had to be perfect. It had to mean something. For him. For Stan. Oh, man. I'm tearing up just like, just reading Donnie Cates' afterword.
You can tell that's how much these stories mean.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, can you, like... could you imagine just, like, sitting there and just realizing, like... Nope, it has to be the most perfect thing I've written so far. And by Jove, I think he's onto something.
He has tapped into something in comics, and I don't know how to describe it, but right now Donnie Cates to me is, he's not untouchable, but boy, he's close.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, I mean, like, cosmic level god tier type stuff especially.
It's not easy.
So, not easy being silver.
With that, we're to talk about god tier stuff. what do you got for us, Kat?
Yay! Alright, so we're going to talk about Superman Year One by Frank Miller and art by John Romita Jr. Yay!
Yars.
I'd just like to point out, I have read a previous Frank Miller comic, and I would like to say, good job, Frank Miller, but apparently from what I read, it was only up from there, so it's fine. Anyways, yes to all of this, and yes. And I actually was kind of flipping through this, too, and I didn't realize it at the time until now, after I was looking at it, but interesting the color choice for him flying around.
the red and blue.
Mm-hmm. And he's got yellow on his...
That I didn't see.
Yeah. Alright, sorry. So, obviously you can't see pictures, but to me, for somebody who loves Superman as much as I do, yes, I enjoyed what they did. I enjoy the ideas and the changes because, for me, at the heart of Superman, it's always his family is what grounds him and makes him who he is and makes him more the most human on the Justice League and all of that fun stuff.
I have to. It's... page like 8, it is Superman's arrival.
Oh, his little baby self?
Baby self with this head held high and arms down, almost to say that
your Jesus pose?
God has arrived. What a beautiful page and beautiful panel.
I want to know how old he is because he's not like an infant.
No, he's probably, I would imagine he's like about
a toddler.
2 or 3 years old?
2 or 3. Because it seems like almost that this is like his first memory. Leaving Krypton.
If you read in the further back, he says as he gets older, his memory gets better.
Yes.
Mm.
That might be fixing the narrative standpoint.
There we go. You're welcome.
Okay, so Patrick and I had a discussion a little bit before the shows today about an unreliable narrator or the fact that the narration seems to change perspectives. We go from what seems to be third person at some points to first person.
Yeah, and I was actually just going back through right now before we started, and the first person is only in 2 panels when he's talking about Lana Lane. He says, "I'll miss you, I'll come back. Wait here for me,"
and that's at the very end. But that's not the only place. But then it switches
back to third person, like right after that.
But he also says when he refers to mom and dad, just look at mom and dad. They're running. They're jumping. They're dancing. And then it switches over to they're wrapping him up. He's a present. It's a party. No,
and I got that. You can kind of call, like, you know, even if you're doing a third person omniscient you can say mom and dad as in, like, look at his mom and dad, and it's kind of, I don't know, like, yeah, because that's another big question I have, is not only, like, first person or the third person, but psychic distance mm-hmm. of the narrator, so, which is, like, essentially how much, like, how close the narration and the story is to the characters.
I didn't even try to think about the narrator thing because I kept seeing that. I'm like, no, I just want to know what's happening. So the thing is what made me realize that he's remembering better is Clark's mind roams free, even his memories increase in power year by year. More memories gorge up unabidden, the crust of the Krypton heaves. So
and
Krypton dies again.
And he switches back to first person after that statement. Cause the last line is, and Clark Kent is ready. Mm-hmm. That's like when you say it out loud to your, you know, it's like, and Nat is ready. Like, that's, you know, like.
Yeah, and like, then there's a scene where he's eating like the oatmeal and it says hot, it's hot, too hot. Like, that's
definitely him feeling it as a kid.
From like that perspective. And like, see, that's when like the psychic distance
gets
a lot closer
to him. I don't blame this kid. Spit it out.
That was the one question I had for this. But like, see there, like, the psychic distance, like, comes closer and then it like backs.
Well,
and he says, show her,
yeah, it says
not
fair.
And then it backs off again, and, like, the next scene is him sleeping. It says night. You know, like, that's pretty detached, or more so detached than this very, like, upfront, in-your-face, like, narration.
Maybe in that, like, that psychic distance through the learning of his memories, and that's why it's back and forth, is that there's some stuff that is very clear to him as in the first person. But then there are other memories where he has a view of it, like he's observing what happened, as opposed to living that and having
that
memory.
Yeah, and that brings up the question of, like, who is the narrator and, like, when are they telling the story?
Yeah.
You know, are they currently telling the story as it's happening right now, as in, like, the too hot scene? Or is this, like, from the future where he's reminiscing and remembering what's happened?
I took it when I was reading it as Cal was remembering his story of Clark.
That makes sense.
So it's not, and I from the beginning have thought that we're getting the story of the Dark Knight Returns Superman, his origin story. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, like, the definitive Superman origin.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because in the dark... Oh, okay.
But
I need to read those. But
then, because he goes to the Navy to become a SEAL at the end of this story, and that lines up with a Superman that is devoted to his country and is almost a country's weapon in the Dark Knight Returns.
Mm.
So you have a farm boy who wants to explore the world because he's been told that's what he's supposed to do, is to be a protector for all of it. So what does he do? He joins a military organization, which are a group of protectors for the world. And he literally chooses the path to go to the seas. What is the biggest thing the world has is the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives him the most opportunity to travel the world and to be a hero.
Yeah.
So he's learning that skill, and that would make sense for the eventual point where we see him in Dark Knight Returns, where he's literally whittled down to the point where he's just a U.S. military weapon. Like, very interesting and a very odd deconstruction, and to see it from the different perspectives of who is the narrator or when is the narrator, there's a lot there that I'm interested in. I'm really, like, I'm interested in what that...
I mean, they have
means.
My money. The fact that they took him to the route of being a part of the military. I mean, what's the one thing that that no one really talks about anymore? And it's still one of my favorite lines to this date with Superman, which, you know, standing up for truth, justice, and the American way. And it's... That's...
You definitely make him the American way.
Yeah, and now I'm wondering, like, coming off of reading it, then I'm wondering if we might get some sort of questionable military things or whatever, like teaching Superman to be, you know, a cold-blooded, mindless killer, kind of.
And I'm curious if we get the other way, where it's a glorification.
Like, it goes farther the other direction. Like, this is the right way to do it.
It could be that either. I don't know why. I was getting, like, and for no reason at all, I was getting some weird menacing ideas, thoughts from the end. I have no idea why. There's nothing in the story that would give me reason to, like, understand that. But maybe it's because I was like, there's no real big conflict in this issue, and I'm just like, something has to happen.
The conflict of the issue is watching him, because the conflict is him feeling powerless, because all he wants to do is help his friends, and ironically enough, the only person who can help his friends is the one without superpowers.
Yeah, and it is definitely like a man versus self conflict for sure, but like...
I wrote down the major theme for me was the dichotomy of strength versus knowledge. It's like he knows how powerful he is, and he's cognizant and discusses it, and it's trying to discuss the balance of that to say, I need to fight, but I need to hold back in order to fight to do the right thing.
Yeah, and but then there's the one part, there's the scene when he's playing football too, and he's talking about not holding back, like wanting to do it, and then like with the bullies too, I think there's
that
something
the,
about
the football thing though. What was it that I was thinking about that? I think that was Boyhood a little bit, because he wanted to impress. I think that's what that came down to. Honestly.
Yeah,
I think that was a little bit of a I want to show the girl what I can do kind of deal. I will say I don't. Him sweating, he doesn't sweat. Not for this stuff, he doesn't sweat. That's my big gripe, because I caught it a couple times. I can see the night sweats thing, because he's, like, freaking out.
Right.
It's just an anxiety thing, but, like, him, when he took the football helmet off and he had sweat on him, I'm like, he doesn't sweat.
Yeah.
This is not hard for him.
Yeah.
Well, we're still dealing with a Superman who doesn't know the full extent of his powers, so it might actually exert him to...
True.
And it may be, you know what's funny? The exertion might come from not going all out.
That is also fair.
Like, he's literally, like, he's sweating because he's anxious about going too far.
Not making someone paper mache.
Exactly, like, not leveling or destroying a kid for...
Because I think if he did run... I like to think of the Man of Steel movies when he's on the ground trying to fly and the whole ground is shaking. I guess that's a fair statement.
So if he's like, if he's trying to hold back and that's causing the anxiety and the sweats.
Yeah, and maybe that's what I was thinking of, like him joining the army with like an unlimited, and then finally getting to like let loose or something.
He's
like
still
that
not gonna
way.
Let loose though. Because he can still kill everyone.
I don't know. I just something's menacing me for some reason, and I feel like...
Well, it's Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Something will menace you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... there is a lot of internal conflict, so I wonder if he's going to do something unsupermanly that he might regret.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I don't, like... I just have no idea, like, what that might be.
Well, the big thing with him is he has to learn that he is powerless against some things, one of them being death, so my guess is being... And that's like a main character trope, and I usually have a hard time when people don't include that in their Superman renditions. And the fact that I didn't, you see it a little bit in this one with Lana, where she's the one who can save him. He did his best with the powers he had to save his friends, and it only made it worse.
Yeah.
So that'll be, I think, I saw that in there too as the underlying theme, which is normal for Superman.
Yeah.
Yes, he's all powerful, but he can't solve everything. So I'm actually curious in the next issue if something's going to happen while he's in the military that he couldn't save people. And
that's a good conflict point.
Yeah,
maybe that he is like doing something and then chooses to do one thing, and as a result, other people.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't save someone or something like that, maybe.
It's the choice to stay hidden versus the choice to his duty.
Yep.
So if he chooses to stay hidden and stay as a soldier in a moment, but that gets someone killed, when Superman or whatever, because he doesn't have the identity yet at that point, could have saved that person, it becomes the question of, do I stay in the military and be a soldier and do the right thing this way, or because I have this gift that I'm not from here, that could be the inciting incident to say, no, I cannot be constrained by... The rules of
the military. I have to move on and be something bigger than that.
And I think, too, because Superman, I think, eventually, when he shows up in Metropolis, I think he is about 30.
Well,
it's all dependent
on... Throw it away!
No, I know that, but what I'm trying to say is it's like, is the question, the biggest question I had for this, is this going to be a Superman that goes to Metropolis, or are we going to be a Superman that comes back to our hometown and creates our family there, but eventually.
So you like coming back as Superboy? Kind of.
I actually looked it up, because I just wanted to place this somehow. They mentioned F-35s, which were created in 2006, which would put Superman, and that was their debut, so it put this story roughly in 2010 to 2002 today. If they're in wide use.
That'll be interesting.
So he's 18 pretty much in, like, modern day times.
Well, which is interesting. I would take all of that out of context and just completely put it within the story itself. Like, and I think that's, you know, this Superman could be Superman at 20. It could be 2 years that he's in the military and excelling and then decides to leave.
It is a standalone book, so it shouldn't be taken in context with the other superheroes, but in context with the world that we live in.
Well, like I said, I'm more curious to see if Superman goes back to being Farm Boy or something happens and he decides he doesn't want to be Farm Boy anymore, because he has a pretty extensive relationship with Lana in this, which he didn't really have a relationship.
Oh, yeah. No, right? Lana and him, that was high. She knew he could fly.
I knew about that, but he's very romantically attached to her, so that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, that's what breaks his heart, is that when he finally does see her again, she's married to Pete. So she's married to Pete Ross.
Oh, no.
So, like, even though has relationships with Lois in the future, it's still his childhood sweetheart breaks his heart and is with their best friend that they were, they went everywhere together when they were living.
Yeah, teens. So that's why I'm curious to see what's going to happen. The next issue is going to probably be the biggest telling one, because I'm curious to see I guarantee you, whatever is going to happen to him to give him that moment of, I can't save everyone, but damn if I'm not going to try.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs to be in the suit in the next one, too.
She stuffs it in his backpack.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, yeah.
To finish it with our farm tools.
I thought that was really cool.
That was funny.
That was fun. Speaking of, like, themes, I had written down a big one for me and talking about, like, is he going to come back or stuff, is this idea of home and belonging and, like, coming. There's a lot of, like, coming and leaving type thing. Like, is it a big deal if you're coming to school or leaving home or, like, there's a bit, is, like, are you leaving Krypton? Is he leaving Krypton or is he coming to Earth? Yeah. You know, is Krypton his home? Is Smallville his home? Is the army now his home? Like, does he belong there? Like, with his group or with his parents?
Right.
With Lana?
Well, and he never seems to truly question, like, his place in the world. It very much comes out as, like, he feels his place is to be something bigger, too. So what is home to him?
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of, like, little sort of constraints, I would say, like communities, like these different groups. Like his,
I would like to point out there is a quote in there of someone calling saying you have wacky tabacky in your pipe, and I'm like, I can't let that go. I'm sorry, I know that was random, I just can't let it go. Anyways,
that was funny. But yeah, like, does he belong to his parents or to his friend group? Like, where does he belong? And I think, like you were saying, he doesn't feel like he belongs any specific place, but to the world.
Yeah. And because basically they framed it as if Jor-El had said something to him to that effect, that you are being sent to save them, you know, like...
Yeah, like, you're a gift to Earth.
Yeah.
From Krypton. Like that.
I also like to point out, I'm also very curious about his little friend seemed to be, like, a major point, too. The, like, goth kid, when he stabs him in the hand with the pen and nothing happens to him.
But
the scene where all the bullies attack him, he was sitting behind him.
I read it that he told the bullies.
Oh, yeah. So I'm actually really curious to see if he's going to show up when he eventually goes back home, too.
Oh, yeah, because he could be somebody that would, like, try to unravel what has the secret identity. Well,
yeah.
Lots of deep thoughts these rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
So excited to see where this one's going. Black Label's still killing it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Does it say Black Label? Okay, give it to me.
All right, cool. Well, with that, I guess we should probably sign off.
All right.
All right, well, bye.